Our main text for this week, for today, is still from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, here we are reading about what Jesus taught about an issue that is so critical and so important for our mental health and emotional well-being. But many people miss it. I'm going to set another challenge for everybody. Okay, so I hope everybody's listening. In a moment, I'm going to say two words. What I want you to do is to listen to yourself. Some people don't know how to do that, but try this morning. As soon as I say those two words, try to recognize the first thought that comes into your mind or your heart. You want to try that? We ready, everybody? Okay. Persecuted Christians. Okay. You thought about something. That's your instinctive reaction to hearing those words. Could you please do me a favor and try to remember it? Because we're going to review this at the end, okay? So don't forget what you thought of. Just make a note of it. I don't know what your experience is or your observation, but mine is that for believers in the West, when people hear those words, persecuted Christians, we think it's people out there somewhere. We think it's people in other parts of the world. And we may even say things like, thank God we're not persecuted in our country. And it's good that we should recognize that there are people who are overtly persecuted, like we did this morning during prayers. We should pray for them, we should support them every way we can. That's what God wants us to do. We're thinking about people who are being persecuted in such ways as torture, loss of property, imprisonment, unfair and unjust imprisonment. They don't deserve to be imprisoned, but they are. And some even are killed for their faith, even as we speak. And we should remember them. But if we paid attention to what Jesus said about persecution, is actually all-inclusive, isn't it? If you remember the main text, Jesus didn't actually say anything about torture, not physical torture. He didn't talk about death, although he talks about that elsewhere, so that's included. But what did he talk about? He said, you're blessed when people do what? Insult you. Lie about you. Say all sorts of evil things about you, falsely. So we're not talking about the things people deserve because of their bad attitudes and behavior. We're talking about what they don't deserve. And if that's done because of Jesus, he said we should rejoice and be glad. In other words, he's talking about people just treating you badly and unfairly. If I asked people here to put their hands up, if they have ever been treated unfairly in this way, insulted, lied about, I think even the children will put their hands up. See, some people think, when you talk about persecution, they think, you know what? I really don't want to be a godly Christian if it's going to cause me pain and persecution. I will try to avoid it. Well, let me give you some news. Everybody gets treated badly or unfairly. Everybody in this world, whether you're rich or poor, whether you are old or young. You know why? Because people generally are self-centered, selfish, self-focused. They only care about how they feel. They are not bothered about how other people feel. They care about what they want, what they want to grasp, what they want to be, what they want to have. And if anybody is standing in their way, they trample all over the person in order to get what they want. You will see people who lie about others. They falsely accuse them so they feel better about themselves. Because if they make you look bad, then they feel they look better. Or if you're in their way, they will do whatever it takes to get you out of their way to get what they want. That is how people naturally treat one another. Am I right or what? I can see heads nodding. Even young people at school experience this. And that is because people naturally are not good. That's what God says. People do bad things to each other. So there is general ill treatment. There's general unfair treatment. It could be because you don't fit. It could be because of the way you look, the way you sound. It could be anything. What does the Bible say about that kind of general treatment? Well, believers in Jesus can still maintain great mental health and emotional well-being, even when they are generally treated badly, they still respond in a godly fashion. Because the Bible teaches how we can handle every adverse situation. We can overcome every adverse situation, even this general one. But Jesus says that in addition to this general one, followers of Jesus, those who have chosen to be true disciples of Jesus, and therefore they do the will of God no matter what, those people are going to get the extra pushback. And that is the extra one that Jesus is saying that you will get a reward for it in heaven. And that you should be glad and rejoice when it happens. Because those people think that they're treating you badly. Do you know what they're doing? They're heaping up rewards for you where it really counts. Can you get yourself to the point where you think they're doing me a favor? Can you imagine how strong you will be? How happy you will be? How peaceful you will be if you accept that when you live a godly life, you will be treated badly, but it's okay. You then tell yourself it's okay. You can rejoice because you have a great reward in heaven. Can you imagine what people miss out in the West because we think we're not being persecuted? We don't even get it. So yes, I believe God will do his bit. And we will get to heaven and be surprised. Yeah, wow, I have all this reward. I didn't even know that when they lied against me and insulted me, that I was getting all this amazing reward where it really counts and will last forever. But you know what we miss out on? The temporal blessing of great mental health and emotional well-being, no matter what. Because we'll be rejoicing and surprise people. People just treat you badly and you're still at peace. And you're still rejoicing. That is power, isn't it? You have become a powerful person inside. That's what we miss out on when we think we're not being persecuted. Well, let's find out what Paul said about this. Paul was a very effective apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was writing to a young man, Timothy, that he was mentoring, and this man had become a very effective and influential leader in church, even though he was only a young man. And we're going to read what he said in 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 to 17 in three parts, okay? The first part is on the screen. I'll read it. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want to point out one or two things here. The first one is that Paul has divided all humans into two categories. There are those who want to live godly lives in Christ Jesus on one side, and then there are evildoers and imposters on the other side. No in between, two categories. Those who want to live godly lives, what does he say? Say, every one of them, not some in some far off country, wherever you are, everyone, wherever you are, who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's not if, it's when. That's one thing we must take note of here. The other side, evildoers and imposters. I think most of us can tell who the evildoers are. But who are the imposters? An imposter is someone who pretends to be one thing, but he's something else. Paul is actually talking about false believers. People who claim to believe in Jesus Christ, but they have not come to the point of full repentance, daily repentance, ongoing repentance, where they commit themselves to doing the will of God and the will of God alone. Not their own will, but what God wants them to do and how God wants them to live in every situation. Now, every believer in Jesus, every true believer should be a godly person in this way. And if they make mistakes, they immediately repent. But there are many who say they believe in Jesus, but they don't want to be true disciples. They want to pick and choose what they would obey and what they want. Well, that makes them their own God, not God Almighty. If you pick and choose what you would take from the Word of God, then God is no longer the Lord of your life. You are. And you're telling God where He should be. I would do this. This is what my culture says. This is what my tradition says. This is what my family says. I would do those things when it suits me. And when it suits me, I'll do what God says. All of those people are included in hypocrites and imposters. And do you know what? They have the same fate as evildoers. We need to understand that. Jesus said it as well. He said it's not those who call him Lord, Lord that will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of God. And he also said that he wishes people will be hot or cold. But if they're in between lukewarm, like I just described, like imposters, he said he will spit them out of his mouth. That's an ejection. It's not a quiet putting aside. It is an expulsion. So, you will find, the reason why I'm explaining that is that many people are shocked and surprised when they get persecuted by people who claim to be Christians. We know of people who've lost their faith because of how some church leader has behaved, or some false believer has behaved. They are imposters. Do you know what I'm saying? They are imposters. Recognize them for what they are. Then you won't hurt so much when somebody who claims to be a believer treats you badly. In fact, Tim and I often review God's benefits, and we know that we have suffered so much persecution in our lives from various quarters. But do you know the conclusion we came to as we reviewed it? Whether it's general ill treatment, which we have suffered a lot, or treatment from bad treatment, ill treatment, and unfair and unjust treatment, we have actually realized that most of those who have treated us this way claimed to be believers in Jesus. Almost all of them, if not all of them. Has that been your experience? Don't be discouraged, because they are imposters. And we pray for their repentance. But there's an even bigger issue. Make sure you are not one of them. Repent if you need to, while there is time. That is one of the amazing gifts Jesus has given us. The mercy that comes from repentance. Suppose we didn't have that means of getting right, that Jesus has died for us. So when we go wrong, we don't have to stay there. We don't have to wallow in it. We can repent wholeheartedly, and we will be fully restored. So let's make sure, brothers and sisters, that we are not imposters. Let's make sure that we do not participate in persecuting others, because many Christians persecute other Christians. Have you had that experience? People are nodding. Think about it, it's true. But don't be discouraged. Many people are destroyed because of it. We counsel with even church leaders who are so depressed and want to give it all up because of the attack they've received, even from their congregation or from people who are supposed to be helping them and supporting them. They are evildoers and imposters, so don't be so surprised. Then we won't suffer so much. That is the blessing Jesus is pronouncing here. The one he's keeping for us in heaven will be there, no problem. But let's not miss out on the many blessings of great mental health and emotional well-being that comes from recognizing the source of our troubles and handling them properly. May God help us. Now, the next session, I want young people to particularly listen, because it's talking about Timothy, who knew the scriptures from infancy. I'm thinking mini kids and kids club. So what I'm going to read next, I'd like particularly the young people to think, Paul is speaking to me today. So are you all listening, young people? I'm looking. Right. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You know whom you've learned it from. People with integrity who teach you the true word of God. There are many children who don't get that privilege. People teach them rubbish, even when they go to church. I've been in places where I'm thinking, they're just entertaining these children. They're not giving them the word of God. But not so in King's Church. I know for a fact that you are taught the truth. And I hope your parents are teaching you the truth at home. But you become convinced of it for yourself. Because that's the only way to live. That is the only way for any human to live and be truly successful and happy in this world and beyond. So take hold of it for yourself. Not because you must, but because you want to. Because that's the best thing for you. And thank God for your teachers, helpers, and parents who are teaching you the Word of God. Okay, finally, for all of us, this is the bedrock of godly living. Our response to the Word of God, correctly interpreted in its various contexts, helps us to maintain that godly living. Because this is what the Bible says. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't be defensive when you hear the truth from scripture. Some people are prickly. They only want to hear what makes them comfortable. If you preach something that rebukes them, they're not happy. They struggle. No, we should be so eager to get better and better that we are even searching for somebody to tell us the truth. We don't resist the truth. We only need to check that that truth is really what the Bible says. And we embrace it. We repent where we're supposed to repent. And we're growing in the Lord, equipped to do every good work. And we'll not only have great mental health in this world and great emotional well-being, but we will have a great reward where it really counts forever. There's no better way to live. I've got two illustrations that may help us to remember this. Godly living can be expressed as climbing a mountain, a high mountain. But notice that there is only one path up that mountain, and it's a narrow one. That is because the only thing that is right in life is to do things God's way. There are no two ways. There's no broad way. It's not I see it this way, I see that way, that person sees it that way. There's only one way, and it's God's way. So we stick to that path. That's what godly living is. But you know what happens? Now, children, if you want to meet that challenge, if you've lost attention, you need to be listening more now. What happens is that as we interact with people, it's as if different people are pulling us off that path. So there's the group in the school playground. There's the group at work. There's a group out there in the shops. There's the group at home. There's group in the extended family. All sorts of people are trying to get us off that path. And you know what some Christians do in order to avoid what? Persecution. They don't want to be opposed. They want people to think well of them. They're people pleasers instead of God pleasers. They please people instead of God Almighty. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to use the word because the Bible uses it. They're cowards. They don't stand up for the truth. So they hide in plain sight. What did I say, children? They hide in plain sight like chameleons do. So if they are with these people and these people are behaving badly, they join in. They listen to social media. Everybody's doing that. They join in. They don't stand out. And they think by so doing, they will avoid the pain of persecution. I have news for you. You will still be treated badly. I told you before at the beginning that that's what people do. So after all that creeping around people and trying to please them so they don't push back, they still treat you badly. So you are in a lose-lose situation. And not only that, you lose your integrity, you lose your testimony. The day you try to open your mouth and say, give your life to Jesus, they say, you're just like us. You're a hypocrite. So they would despise you. and disrespect you on top of the general bad treatment they will give you anyway. No matter how much you creep, they're going to treat you badly. Get used to that, because that's what people do. So it's a pointless thing to do. The real thing to do is to stick to the path. Wherever you are, don't hide in plain sight. Stand out in a loving, godly manner. And you will get pushback anyway, but who cares? They're heaping up reward for me in heaven. So I will rejoice and be glad in spite of it. But I'll have a clear testimony, and I'll have the best life possible in this life and forever. That is the only way for any human to live. Any human. The opposite is terrible. The evildoers and the imposters. That's what their lives are like. No clarity. You see, remember that mountain path? You're getting greater clarity. You're seeing more and more. You really have wisdom and understanding. You know what this life is about and how to live it the best way that God created you to live. The rest of the people, even if they're in church, they are like that. You can barely see them. They're like, I call them, they're rushing about on the misty flats. They think they know what they're doing. They grasp this, they grasp that, they run to that place, they run helter-skelter, they try to please that person, try to please that person, they try to sort their own lives out. Look at them, running around and getting nowhere. And what's worse, they go from bad to worse. And they end up in the worst possible place for any human to be. That is exactly not how not to live. And if we find ourselves there, there's no need to get defensive. We just need to repent, and it can change this moment. Now, I want to believe that we all want to be godly people. We want to live godly lives, doing the will of God no matter what. Be highly encouraged, because I'm going to finish with two scriptures. Remember that Jesus said that when he was talking to the disciples in our main text, he said to them that the prophets who were before you were treated like that, and these people highly respected their prophets. But Jesus also said they would treat me like that. So we're in great company. Take heart. They've treated Jesus like that. So I'm going to read two scriptures that I hope we'll find really, really encouraging. This is what Jesus said in John 15, verses 18 to 21. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. I hope you're encouraged by that. And Paul said in Romans 8, 16 to 18, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Praise God. I'm going to put those words up. Persecuted Christians. Has anything changed? Just think about that. And may God help us.